Ben Standig will be on with us at noon instead of 12. But right now, we welcome onto the show Ben Baby. Ben covers the Bengals for ESPN. He's the John Keim equivalent for ESPN, covering the Cincinnati Bengals. You can follow Ben on X on Twitter, at Ben_Baby. Ben joins us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Ben, thanks. Appreciate it. The game Sunday at Arrowhead was a great football game, and I think most football fans watching it said these are, you know, KC's the best team in the AFC, and Cincinnati's going to be right there with them when we get to the end of the season. But they are 0-2. So are you guys calling this or referring to it as a must-win situation Monday night?
Yeah, you know, first off, appreciate you having me on. I think we've been covering the team long enough to know that I don't know if there's a such thing as a must-win in week three. And to be honest, you know, Joe Burrow kind of said it best. You know, it's unfortunately for them a situation they've been in before, but they've done a good job in years past of not only playing well in primetime games, but also finding a way to win in week three when they've struggled in the first 2 weeks of the season. You know, fifth time in 6 years, they've been 0-2 in the last 3 years. That's been the case. The only exception, in fact, Zach Taylor's only week one or two victory came in 21, the year they went to the Super Bowl, and that was, you know, week one. So I don't think it's a must win, but, you know, when you talk to people inside the building, the urgency is obviously very high, and I don't think you need to explain to them that they do not want to start 0-3 if they would like to make the postseason this year.
Yeah, in that 2021 game, if my memory serves me correctly, Dalvin Cook fumbled in overtime in field goal range, which kept Minnesota from having a chance to beat Cincinnati in OT. Why are they able to rebound from slow starts?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. I think that there is some frustration that they can't really figure out why they play so poorly at the start of the year. You know, when you look at what the Patriots did yesterday, I think that's a game that the Bengals are going to want back at the end of the season and feel like they should have won it. That was the sentiment inside the locker room as well. But, you know, I asked Burrow about that yesterday as to, you know, in terms of the feeling and kind of why they kind of rebound well. And he said they do a good job basically trying to make every practice the same, and that's something that they keep top of mind. And you know, they've done a good job, and I think that you've got to give credit to Zach Taylor in that regard, and as much blame as he might shoulder for these slow starts, you know, they've done a good job in years past of not letting a losing streak linger all that long. And you know, it's a big reason why, you know, they made the playoffs in 21. They lost two games in December, were able to go back and really do what they needed to do to make the postseason. And then, you know, they ended up making a Super Bowl run that year. So I think Zach does a good job of keeping them even keeled when things are going well or not going great, which is what you want a coach to do.
How much heat did Ja'Marr Chase catch for that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which derailed a potential touchdown drive, forced a field goal? Ultimately, that wasn't enough to get the win. I mean, he lost his mind in that moment, right?
Yeah, you know, it's surprising because he hasn't gotten as much heat as I thought he would, because that was, you know, I don't think it was the deciding play in that game. Ultimately, if you want to look back, I think that the Bengals settling for field goals early on, not being good enough in the red zone, that's something you have to be good at against Kansas City. And then you don't put yourself in such tight situations, because in the second half, you know what this team's capable of doing, and they've done it to the Bengals before in higher stakes games. And so that was no different here on week two. But, you know, it was kind of interesting. Zach didn't really say a ton about Ja'Marr, didn't criticize him a ton for being in that moment, whether it be Sunday or the day after on Monday when he spoke to us as well. So Ja'Marr did not catch a ton of heat. And, you know, I think he's a guy who, you know, we'll talk to him later today. But, you know, getting a sense of where he's at, because I think there's been a lot of questions of whether how much of that was just the game going the way it did, being double teamed as much as he was, or if there's any lingering frustration over kind of how the whole offseason and training camp has been for him, as he was a hold-in, you know, while he was trying to get a new contract that is not going to happen before the upcoming offseason. So those are all things that I think Ja'Marr will have to address going into this game.
All right. For those wondering, Cincinnati, after losing to the Patriots, is the biggest favorite in week one. Baltimore lost as the biggest favorite in week two. And Cincinnati right now, the biggest favorite in week three. Washington will go in there as an 8-point dog on Monday night. But Cincinnati's got Washington, Carolina, and the Giants in three of their next four games. So I would imagine that there is a deep breath there, and it's like, look, at least the schedule opens up a little bit and allows us to get back into this season. With that said, from your standpoint, what are like Cincinnati's keys to winning on Monday night and getting their first win?
Yeah, you know, as you pointed out, you know, our books at ESPN Bet, they've got the Bengals as big dogs as well, or big favorites, I should say. Yes, correct. I should probably get my verbiage right there. But yes, big favorites going into this. But, you know, I think for them, this is going to be a lot like that Patriots game, like you mentioned, in the fact that, you know, Washington's got a really good rushing attack. And the Bengals right now, they are banged up inside that defensive line. You know, we'll see if Sheldon Rankins and B.J. Hill, their two starting defensive tackles, are going to be healthy. They just signed a guy off the street in Lawrence Guy, who is traditionally a defensive end. And so we'll see if they kick him inside at all. You know, it's going to be very fascinating. They're two rookies as well, McKinley Jackson, Chris Jenkins, dealing with injuries as well, both defensive tackles. So if you're Washington, you really want to go out there and see if you can, for, you know, as much as I hate the phrase, establish the run and see if you can't get Brian Robinson, Austin Eckler, get them rolling early, and then see if you can set up stuff for Jaden Daniels to take advantage of throwing the ball downfield. It'll be interesting because Cam Taylor-Britt, the Bengals cornerback, he gave a very detailed analysis of Jaden Daniels' game yesterday and basically said that my guy Cliff Kingsbury runs a nice college offense and they don't ask Jaden to do a whole lot. So we'll see if that continues to play out on Sunday.
Yeah, Denton, get that piece of sound. I read it this morning. Taylor Britt, who, by the way, had a great pick in the game. I think that was him in the game on Sunday against the Chiefs. But really dismissive about the offense that Washington runs. No, I think you nailed it, man. Stevenson had a big day in the opener. Pacheco had a big day before he got hurt at Arrowhead. To me, that is the absolute way that Washington kind of stays in this game and has a chance, and that's keeping Joe Burrow on the sidelines by being able to possess the ball. And I think the best way to possess it against Cincinnati right now is running the football.
Yeah, you know, if I'm Washington, what I want to do is I want to win the coin toss. I want to accept the ball. I want to have a 13-play, 75-yard drive or 70-yard drive that takes about 8 minutes off the clock, go up 7-0, get the Bengals in a 3-out, go down, kick a field goal, and that's going to be the game. Because the Bengals, when you look at it, they do not do well playing from behind. Most teams don't, but that does play such a huge role. And when you go back and you look at how the New England game played out, you know, Zach Taylor pointed out time and time again that once they got ahead, they were allowed to play the game they want to. So if you're Washington, you basically want to follow that exact same playbook and say, let's try to go ahead and shorten the game. Let's see if we can establish things on the ground, get an early lead, and then be able to play from there and then make the Bengals go out and beat us.
How good is Hendrickson as a pass rusher? I mean, I think from afar, a lot of people don't discuss him in kind of that elite category of pass rushers, but he's a handful, right?
Yeah, I'll be honest, and I'm not one to give the Bengals a bunch of undue praise when it's not merited, but I think Trey Hendrickson might end up, he could has a shot at being the best edge rusher in the league this season. When you look at his numbers, last year he was tied for the AFC lead in sacks. Our pass rush win rate numbers have always been very favorable to him. You know, he's gotten basically the last two offensive tackles that he's played against. One is contemplating retirement. The other one got benched. And so now we'll see what happens this week on Sunday for the next guy that's going to end up facing him. And, you know, right now he's leading the league in pass rush win rate, according to ESPN and NFL Next Gen numbers. Just creates a ton of havoc. And, you know, I think the one thing that doesn't really help Trey is that he doesn't do a ton of media. So a lot of people don't really know a lot about him. Even locally, they just kind of see him play on the field and play really well in the tape, and the numbers speak for themselves. But I would agree with your assessment. He does not get talked about a ton, which, you know, he plays a role in that as well. But for my money, I think he's one of the best edge rushers in the league. And I think, you know, he should not only be in the Pro Bowl conversation, but be in the All-Pro conversation as well.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think, an NFL fan lack of sort of understanding of how good he is. I wanted to ask you just about the running back situation without Joe Mixon. I mean, they've got Zach Moss. They've got Chase Brown. I love Chase Brown at Illinois, by the way. I thought he was a really good back. He does not, he's not the top back. But is that a position right now that has really taken a step back?
You know, it's interesting. It hasn't been as good as I thought it would be. I think when you look at their success rate numbers, they've been actually pretty decent. But the thing with Mixon is that he did not create enough explosive plays in the run game, didn't take advantage of light boxes. I know that my guy Mel Kiper has had a very strong cover two take.
Yeah, we just talked about
around.
That. Yeah.
Listen, I get it. It's I would like quarterbacks to go ahead and be more aggressive. I think they'd make for fun bowl. But, you know, the Bengals know, and they've said this for years, if you want to get teams out of cover two, you've got to gash them on the ground. And when they play you to basically give up big plays on the ground in the running game, you've got to take advantage of it. Mixon just did not do that at a high enough level. I'm kind of surprised, quite honestly. He's playing as well as he is in Houston. And I think that if this continues, that offense could be one of the best in the league if they continue to play well, because I think Mixon entered a great situation and he's playing better than we've seen him in recent years. So it could honestly, you know, and that's what's interesting. If Joe continues to play well in Houston, you know, we start looking at it in Cincinnati and go, maybe Joe wasn't the issue. Maybe it was a scheme issue. Maybe there were other factors involved. But, you know, I think that there has been a lot of optimism that what Zach Moss and Chase Brown do, how they complement each other and how they fit into the offensive scheme, should be more beneficial and produce a better run game than we've seen in recent years. But that remains to be seen.
You mentioned Hill and Rankins. Just give me your best guess on whether or not they'll be ready Monday night. And then, of course, the big one is the potential return of T. Higgins. What's the latest on him?
Yeah, T was limited yesterday, and it sounds like everything is trending toward him playing. I think we'll talk to him later today as well. When you know, Zach Taylor made it a point early in the week, he's very hesitant to make any declarations that far from a game about whether a guy's going to play, but you can tell in the way he answered the question and the tone that he felt like there's a good shot. He made a point to say that the extra day this week is very beneficial for T's chances of playing, which is a very notable comment. So if they get him back, it's going to be big. And yesterday was his first time he practiced since he injured that hamstring 2 weeks ago. As for Rankins and Hill, that might be a little bit more tricky. We saw Hill yesterday in the locker room did not practice. Didn't really catch Rankins at all. He also did not practice. So those guys may be the long shots to play. We'll kind of see how the week develops. But I think the likelihood that you see T is going to be strong. And you know, having that with a very different kind of offense they're running this year with more tight end heavy packages, I'm very curious to see how that looks with Higgins and Chase both on the field.
Just one last one, Ben, and I appreciate the time. The division, which I think people thought going into this season, certainly had a chance top to bottom to be the strongest division in the league. You had every team last year in the division finish with a winning record. It's only 2 weeks. We all as NFL fans understand, you know, it's a long, you know, season. Things change so dramatically. But both Baltimore and Cincinnati have, you know, these situations where it'd be nice to avoid 0-3. But I'm curious as to what you guys think of Pittsburgh's start.
I'll be honest, I'm not a big believer in Pittsburgh. I haven't been. I think it's been incredible what they've done. I don't know what they have with the quarterback situation. I think that, you know, the dilemma between Justin and Russell Wilson, I don't know where that's going to go long term and how that offense looks. I like George Pickens a lot in what he can do. He had a big game against the Bengals last year. I think they've got some pieces, but, you know, at the beginning of the year, I would have said, you know, that's probably the team I've got the least amount of confidence in the AFC North, and they've had a good start, and I think it's a big credit to Mike Tomlin and kind of the adjustments they've made over there. So we'll see how that continues to develop. I still think that Cleveland's got a really strong defense. Baltimore, you would imagine they would come around and still be the favorites to win the division once, you know, Lamar gets rolling, and we'll see how that defense continues to come along. But, yeah, just a very fascinating division to watch. I don't think anybody expected the Bengals and the Ravens to both be 0-2 at this point. But, you know, it's going to end up being, once the division games start to play out, then you'll get a better sense of maybe where these teams might be. But, yeah, very surprising start.
Who's the biggest rival for Bengal fans?
Oh, that's a good question. I think right. I think it's always going to end up being the Steelers. I think it's the team that they probably hate the most. I would go Cleveland next on that list. And then, honestly, I'd probably go like Kansas City, Baltimore at this point. There's a good healthy rivalry there, but I think that game with Pittsburgh. I mean, I'm from Dallas, so I'm not from here, so I've only been here for the last few years. But I get the sense that they view the Steelers like the Cowboys view the rest of the NFC East rivals back in the day.
Yeah, we would just like the Cowboys and the Skins to be rivals like they were way back in the day. That would be fun because that was the best rivalry in the league for a long period of time. Not so much anymore. Do you have a prediction?
I think the Bengals will pull it out, but I think they'll end up. I think Washington covers. To be quite frank, I think that this could end up being a game that, you know, again, if they run the ball well, they should be able to shorten things. And I still don't know where this Bengals offense is at. I think it's going to be a big week to see how Joe Burrow looks, continuing to come off that wrist injury, and then see how T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase fit in with how the offense looks. And so, you know, we'll see. I think one of the big question marks, I'm curious to see if Emmanuel Forbes will play this week. I know he did not last week with the injury. He did not practice, I believe, yesterday. So I think that's going to be a big matchup and a guy that they would Washington would love to have out there, given how, you know, this game might end up going.
Great job, Ben. Really appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate y'all having me.
Ben Baby from ESPN covers the Bengals at Ben_BABY. Ben Standig will join us next. All of our coverage here on this Football Friday is brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.